Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As we see again and again from Jesus and the scriptures, they do their best to explain the harder to understand, harder to grasp spiritual truths by comparing them to some of the earthly phenomenon of which we are aware. In John chapter 3, Jesus compares the Holy Spirit's work and actions to the earthly phenomenon of wind. Verse 7, Jesus says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, y'all, must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 4, we again hear Jesus using some earthly comparisons to reveal spiritual concepts, seeds, and their germination, how it is that plants can grow into various and large sizes while coming from just a little seed. But I'd like to just review a little bit Gospel of John chapter 3, which was our reading just a couple weeks ago here in our church services. And we heard Jesus speaking to Nicodemus concerning truths about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then two verses later, referring to the Holy Spirit's work through baptism, in verse 5, Jesus explains to us the genuine definition of what it means to be born again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Born of water and the Spirit. This is the biblical definition of what it means to be born again. This biblical definition of what it means to be born again comes to us straight from the mouth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Born again, or regeneration, as we heard generations ago, and some of us learned that word in our old catechism memorization and instruction from the King James Version quote of Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Born again, regeneration are the same concept. By highlighting the Holy Spirit's work, we are shown the importance of the Spirit-filled Word of God in baptism. Reviewing a portion of the third section of baptism from Luther's Small Catechism, we read this: "Thirdly, how can water do such great things? It is not the water, indeed, that does them, but the Word of God in and with the water, and faith which trusts such Word of God in the water. For without the Word of God, the water is simple water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism that is a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration, born again in the Holy Ghost." As St. Paul says, Titus chapter 3, "God saved us, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, born again, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, children of God who inherit all the blessings and salvation from God our Father, since we are born again into his family through baptism, our second birth, according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. So in John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he could understand the work of the Holy Spirit about as much as he could understand the wind. And in today's reading from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, we hear Jesus say that we can understand the work of the Holy Spirit about as much as we can explain how God makes a plant to sprout from a seed buried in the ground. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear." Explain that. Furthermore, in the next example which Jesus gives to us, why is it that the size of the seed is not in proportion to the size of the plant that grows from the seed? Jesus begins, "With what can I compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade." There is so much that in our limited, finite human minds, so much that we cannot fully understand or satisfactorily explain. The wind, how a seed germinates, the plant grows. How plant size is disproportionate to the size of the seed that starts the plant's life, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet, to do our best explaining, we turn to the Word of God and repeat what we see there. This is what Martin Luther and the earliest Lutheran reformers did. In the first public confessional writings and presentations by the Lutheran reformers, the Augsburg Confession, we hear how it is that the work of the Holy Spirit brings one to a saving faith and maintains one in that saving faith. It says thus, "That we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in them that hear the gospel, to wit, that God, not for our own merits, but for Christ's sake, justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake." The power of the Holy Spirit to bring a person to faith is in the Word of God. By the voice of God, the universe was created and all that is on the earth and in the heavens. Genesis chapter 1 declares, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good." Hebrews 11, verse 3 confirms, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That which we see and feel and touch was not made out of things visible, but things which are audible the word, the spoken word of God. It is a wonder of wonder, of wonders, miracle of miracles. The awesome love and power of God, God makes it all happen. He makes the wind to blow where it will. He makes the seed to sprout as he wills it. And he causes faith to be created when and where God wills it. A pastor friend of mine, we were in seminary together, writes from Wisconsin, "During my first Sunday preaching 36 years ago, as well as today, I have learned that God's kingdom grows through the Word of God and the Word alone. It doesn't depend on the preachers. I learned that right away." He remembers, "If you would have heard me talk 36 years ago, you might have thought that I could never be a preacher because I stuttered a lot. I never responded much in seminary classes because I didn't know what would happen when I opened my mouth and tried to talk. And I even had a backup plan to fall back on for a career if I couldn't become an ordained preacher of the word. I loved being a golf course greenskeeper," he writes, his work on Saturdays. "I could go back to the family gas station business and work there. I still remember that whenever I had a stressful day on Saturday, this only made my stuttering worse. When I did not stutter once during an entire service, I felt that it was a miracle of God. To this day, every time that I am able to preach, I believe that it is a gift from God to me." Thus writes my friend. God can do great things through the Christian witness that he gives to us, even if we stumble, even if we stutter. As we hear repeatedly in the scriptures, all that the sower does is spread the seed, casts out, scatters, sows the word of the Lord. The sower sows, and the seed sprouts and grows. No human being precisely can explain how, but we trust that the seed will produce a crop, a harvest. Over the past few years, and the type of work that I do and other pastors do, I've experienced the comfort that the Word of God brings, especially at times when people are living in regret of sins they have committed, or in times of trouble and grief. First, we hear that gospel, good news, word of the Lord to us, ourselves. Christ, the Lamb of God, sacrificed himself upon a cross and has died for you. God forgives you every one of your sins, and he will never leave you or forsake you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, forgives you all your sins. We have his promise in his word, and it is sure. And then God uses our mouths and us to tell people that Christ died for them. He forgives every one of their sins, and he will never leave or forsake them, as he promises in his word, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of this age." The message of Christ crucified for us has the power of the Holy Spirit to create faith in our Savior. The power is not in the person who shares the word of God, but the power is in that word which we share. The word of God never returns void. It accomplishes what God sets out for it to do. What a comfort that can be in our lives when we think about our witnessing appearing to be void, not seeing anything, perhaps, in those with whom we share the good news. And today, many faithful Christians are grieved that their grown children seemingly have rejected the Christian faith, faith in Christ, our Savior. A text like this for today reminds us that the Lord tells us to trust in the power of the word which God gives us to sow. God is long-suffering. We do not do well to lose hope, but we are to be patient and forbearing. History has shown that more than once, that a young wayward adult in the past has had his heart and faith given to him by the Holy Spirit. One that comes to mind is a great church father, Saint Augustine, following decades of prayer by his mother, Monica. So this year, various parts of the United States and North America, there's talk about cicadas, those large buzzing bugs, coming and appearing again after a 17-year growth cycle. As we marvel at their newly two decades of absence, not seeing them alive or above the ground. And yet these noisy insects come back and appear in North America again and again, either on the 13-year cycle or the 17-year cycle. And then that got me thinking how long a seed can remain dormant in the ground. And so, thanks to the modern technology of the internet, I could look it up. How long seeds can remain dormant before they sprout and grow? I checked the website for the topic of seed dormancy. At first I was looking up, you know, I grew up on a farm and we would have to try to hoe and get rid of the weeds. So at first I looked up, how long can weed seed remain dormant? Don't look that up. Weed today means marijuana. So seed dormancy, you can look up. And the place I checked said many species of plants have seeds that delay germination for many months or years, and some seeds can remain in the soil seed bank for more than 50 years before germination. And another website just published a little over a year ago in February of 2020, and the first two sentences in that article state, seven date palm trees have been grown from 2,000-year-old seeds that were found in the Judean desert near Jerusalem. The seeds, the oldest ever germinated, apparently, were among hundreds discovered in caves and in an ancient palace built by King Herod the Great in the first century BC, before Christ. So as we await God's timing for the growth of faith in our loved ones and in ourselves, I am reminded of a slogan I saw on a t-shirt back in the 1970s. It said, "Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." Jesus teaches that salvation is never our responsibility, not in whole, not even in a portion. It is not the responsibility of ourselves to save others either. It is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit, as the scripture shows. And as Martin Luther explains in the Small Catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, the word of God, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in him until life everlasting. Amen.